So Israel has begun its ground operation, and though they may not yet be calling it a full-scale invasion, it has begun. And in doing so, Israel has confronted its horns of dilemma, because if they do not invade, they will keep the Hamas terrorists intact, and you can be certain that they will do their brutal mayhem another day. But by determining to neutralize Hamas, it is unavoidable that there will be civilian casualties, and they will face the wrath of many in the world as they are doing now. I thought only from the Islamic nations, but it turns out that even Western countries have many of the progressive ideology that takes the side of what they should not. But let me say that for a much longer time, the church has been facing that dilemma in pursuit of our mission. We have the gospel message, which alone can save sinners, and that gospel is summarized as the Lord Jesus Christ, who died and rose again, and in rising again, He is now King, and every sinner, if he is to be saved, must come to Christ. That is the basic of the gospel that we cannot compromise. But if we will not compromise the message of the gospel, we are certain to face the rejection of the world. That is the dilemma. Shall we be faithful to the gospel, or should we adapt to what the world wants of the church as its message? This is the dilemma that the church faces from the very first century of the church. This is the dilemma that this church has faced from its beginning in 1981, and it is only appropriate that in this month of our anniversary, we remind ourselves again that that same gospel we began preaching in 1981 is still the same gospel we are preaching in 2023, and God willing and by God's enabling, the same gospel we will preach for many more years to come. I am saying that while there is adaptation to be done in many areas of life, and we do adapt to many things that happen and change in our society, one thing that cannot adapt is the message of the gospel. So strong is the pressure and the opposition so sharp that many churches sadly have decided to adapt the gospel. They will still mention Christ, and they will still mention the gospel, but as long as it is affirmative of people rather than expose their sins, they will be welcomed by the world. And many churches, seeing how welcome such message is, they go along the bandwagon and adapt themselves in the message that they bring to the world. Whereas if you remain faithful to the message of the gospel, you are certain to face, except by the grace of God, rejection and cancellation by the world. So why are we not adapting? I ask you to turn your Bibles to the second letter of Paul to Timothy, chapter 4, familiar passage. And perhaps I have used this a number of times, but let us read verses 1 to 5. 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verses 1 to 5. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Now, there is general acknowledgement that the second letter of Paul to Timothy is his final letter, and Apostle Paul himself at this point knows that. He was writing his last, and in that sense, he was writing his valedictory. That is his farewell discourse to his son in the ministry, and that is Timothy. If you were in his place, what sort of message would you give to someone who will perpetuate the ministry that you have begun? Well, for most people, probably they will think of a message like, teach your people to love one another. And that is a great message. That is a good thing to be reminded of again and again. But that is not what Paul reminds Timothy as he was bidding farewell upon writing the second letter to Timothy. It is believed by scholars that he would face the Roman execution in a few weeks. So Paul knows that he was dying, and what he gave Timothy as his farewell exhortation is not about loving one another, important as that is. His message is, be faithful to the gospel, be faithful to the truth of the word. And that is very appropriate for us as a church this month, as I have said. We remember that it has been 42 years since our existence, and we have been preaching the gospel for that long. But it is not that too long compared to what the church has been doing in the first century until now. Every faithful church is preaching the same gospel. Why have we refused the way of adaptation of the message to the welcoming ears of today's generation? Well, Paul is aware of Timothy's temptation. Earlier in the letter, in chapter 1, verse 7, he suggests that Timothy is of a personality that struggles with diffidence, fear of men. He tells him, we do not have the spirit of fear, suggesting that that is one struggle that Timothy has, especially as a young man, at least comparatively to the people that he would face. He reminds him not to let anyone despise his youth. So knowing this of Timothy, Apostle Paul reminds him that he must have the courage to maintain the message of the gospel without adaptation. And we are in a similar situation. The opposition is even stronger. The pressure is even more relentless. And many are giving in. Why have we not given in these 42 years? Certainly we saw many churches, we saw many of our friends and brethren who are given warm welcome by the world just because they adapt to what the world likes. Why are we not doing it? Well, precisely because of what the Apostle Paul tells us. And we must always resist that temptation of adaptation. And I want to give you this message for this evangelistic message. We proclaim the same word of salvation, whatever the conditions of people or times. Pinapahayag natin ang parehong salita ng kaligtasan, anuman ang kalagayan ng mga tao o ng mga panahon. We proclaim the same word of salvation, whatever the conditions of people or of the times. Paul introduces this passage with a word that is only used for the most solemn exhortation. He says, I charge you. You can count in your one hand the number of times Paul uses this, and it is always with something very solemn, something that you cannot trifle with. And the main command of the passage is that succinct statement, preach the word. Now imagine Timothy being given that exhortation. Now that much is acceptable. To be told that you are to preach the word, Timothy might have simply reacted with, of course, I am willing to preach the word. But now comes the next exhortation of the Apostle Paul, and this must have shaken Timothy, as we know of his diffident personality, the one easily intimidated, because Apostle Paul says, preach the word. If he stopped there, it would have been something comforting for Timothy. But Paul tells Timothy, preach the word, whether in season or out of season. Now, he uses the same root word for what we may translate as times or age, except that the first has the prefix for what is good, so it's about the good times, the good age, and the other has the prefix for what is bad or what is absent. In other words, what are not good times? What are not a good age? What is not a good season? So whether you find yourself in a good season when hearers are welcoming your message, or more often, you will find yourself faced and confronted by people ready to reject you, ready to be hostile to your message, you will preach the same word. You are not going to change it. You are going to preach the same message. And that is the same exhortation that we are challenged today. And no better way, no better time to refresh this than in our anniversary month. There will be a call for adaptation of the gospel that many will heed, but I pray that Grace Baptist Church never will. And you will find that the call for adaptation is in two ways: toning down or blending with. First is toning down the offense of the message. Hinaan mo ang nakakasakit sa mensahe. Toning down the offense of the message. And the second is blending with the causes of the present. Makibagay ka sa mga simulain ng kasalukuyan. Blending with the causes of the present. So in those two ways, there is a call for the church to adapt the message of the gospel. We are willing to adapt to many changes in society, but never the message of the gospel. And one such temptation is to tone down the offense of the message. The gospel might find more welcome in the world if it blunts the sharp edges. That is, if it tones it down. Kung pahinaan lang ng iglesia ang kanyang mensaheng nakakasakit sa mga tao, ay mas madali siyang magiging katanggap-tanggap. People find the gospel offensive to their sensitivities, and for them, no self-respecting person will accept a gospel that exposes their sin, calls them to repentance, and tells them that their good works mean nothing when they face God on the judgment day. No one likes that kind of message, not naturally, not natively. And so when a church seeks to be faithful to that message, the natural and native response he will get is one of rejection, one of hostility, one of cancellation, if possible. And so the pressure to tone down is finding so much appeal in churches today. You see this in people like Smiling Joel Osteen, who has this message, "Your best life now." That's what the kind of message you will have. That's the kind of message that will get you an invitation to talk shows and make your message welcoming to the world. You will be yourself a celebrity in the world as long as you give them a message that tones down the offensive side. But why won't we? Well, Apostle Paul has something very simple to say. The gospel does not alter as a universal need. Ang ebanghelyo ay hindi magbabago bilang pangkalahatang pangangailangan. It will not change as the need of all. It has the same message of salvation for all. It is not something you customize to people according to their likes and personalities or ethnicity or gender orientation, nothing of the kind. Apostle Paul knows only two kinds, and he tells Timothy in his charge by using the backdrop of the most solemn kind, he tells Timothy, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who at his appearing will judge the living and the dead." And nothing can be more universal. Not all of us may have the same education. not all of us may have the same economic status, but all of us are either living or dead. And that means all. And nothing can be more diverse. There can be diversity in education, in economic status, but again, no greater diversity than either you are alive or you are dead. That is something that makes the gospel universal. Because the living and the dead will stand before the judgment of God, and because of that, there is no reason and there is no ground for changing that message which has saved those who are now dead who have believed in Jesus Christ and will still save the living today. So you cannot be more universal in language than that. He will judge the living and the dead. It covers all whoever lived and died. Whether by the time Paul was writing or more likely at the time Christ comes the second time, it covers all who are alive when Christ comes again, and it covers all those who have died, even they will answer for their sins. Death will not erase the accountability of sin. There will be reckoning with God. And this is the folly of those who think they can escape the misery that their life is beset with by resorting to suicide. And they think they can escape the misery. You cannot. You only jump from the frying pan into the fire, as they say. You face the judgment of God. So it must come into your conviction that that judgment includes you. Because that categorization of living and dead exempts no one. That includes you. You may shrug this off. It will not change that you will face God on the judgment day. You should accept the truth that one day you will stand before the judgment of God. And what then? Your religion will do you no good. Your ceremonies will do you no good. Your pilgrimages will do you no good. Even your humanitarian benevolence will do you no good. As we sang those words of Augustus, that lady, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. That is my invitation to you, my friend. An invitation that I have been extending since the beginning of this church in 1981. And I still do, and we still do, because there is no other gospel that will prepare you for the judgment that you are certain to face. Because if you are not a gospel believer, whatever you are and whatever you have done will do you no good. The way Paul describes or depicts the second coming is in these words in 2 Thessalonians 1 in verse 8, in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. To those who have not responded to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will face the judgment wrath of God. And there is no other salvation but the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel by which He died and rose from the dead. This should make you tremble if you only know the prospect of facing God on the judgment day without the gospel. But Paul recognizes that hearers will have what he depicts in down-to-earth figure as itching ears. That is, they want to be tickled. They want a message that will tell them that their good deeds are acceptable. They want a message that will affirm them in their kind of life that they may admit is imperfect, But as long as they have God somehow in the lifestyle they live, they come to church, they read the Bible, and they think that is enough, but they are not gospel believers, you have not surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, my friend, you are standing on shallow ground that will sink you into damnation. Do you see now why we cannot tone down the gospel? It's not because we want you hurt. Precisely the opposite. The hurt that you know is only the hurt emotionally and because of your sensitivity being exposed as a sinner and one who cannot do anything before God. But you need that hurt in order not to really face that eternal harm of damnation. I'm sure you have been watching on the news the rockets coming from Hamas going to the side of Israel, falling on, if they could put a dedication, it's to whom it may concern. And when the rockets are fired, a loud siren tone, a loud siren sound goes off. Can you imagine people saying, it's too loud, it's hurting my ear, tone it down. That's just foolish. Precisely, the loud noise is to warn people of coming danger so that they can rush to their shelters, which every Israeli house has, precisely because of these constant rocket attacks. No one will think of toning it down, and that is just the point, my friend, why the gospel is not to be toned down so that your sensitivities may not be hurt. My challenge to you is, do not look for a gospel that will not expose your sin and call for conversion. Huwag kang maghanap ng ebanghelyo na hindi magbubunyag ng iyong kasalanan at tatawag sa iyo sa pagbabalik loob sa Diyos. This is after all what many want Christians to do, what they want the church to do. Tone it down. Have nothing of sin and repentance. You can speak of Jesus Christ. You can speak of many virtues of Christian living, but don't speak of sin. Don't call people to repent. But that kind of gospel may be welcome and applauded by most, but it is not a saving gospel. And in 42 years of Grace Baptist Church, we have learned more of the Word, we have learned more of the gospel, but we have not adapted the gospel to what the world wants. I will be honest, in my rotten pride, I sometimes imagine myself receiving a standing ovation from thousands of an audience. But I also know that can only happen when I tone down the offense of the gospel and I imagine that greater concourse of people, not thousands but millions, nay billions, whoever died and lived on the judgment day. And that is where it matters. I don't care about the standing ovation if I were to be faithful to the gospel. I don't care about your applause or acceptance. What I care about is your soul. Your soul that has not given itself to the only way of salvation, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. I can imagine myself being unfaithful to the gospel, and when I stand before the judgment seat of Christ, people will come to me and say, why did you not preach the gospel? Why did you traffic in self-esteem and psychological therapy and all these popular messages now that they are before the judgment seat of God? Oh, you can fault the church for many things, for we are not a perfect church. You can post your hatred on social media as long as you like. One thing, however, you cannot blame this church or blame this pulpit is to say that you have never heard the gospel. You have heard it time and again, some of you for years, some of you for decades. You have been pleaded with, invitation has been extended to you, and a full orb gospel that only Christ can save has been told you again and again, and you have delayed again and again, and you will go home tonight, today, still rejecting that gospel, still under the wrath of God, still rushing to damnation. But I will not tire of preaching to you the same gospel, even if you get fed up with it and get offended by it, because judgment is coming. It is a tragic thing to be cast away on the judgment day for your sin without hearing the gospel. But I am at a loss for words to depict the tragedy of someone who will be cast away after hearing the gospel so many times and yet will rush into a Christless eternity in hell. Because you have heard the gospel, you have delayed it, procrastinated, or you have preferred something else, and you die, and you will be one of those who are the living and the dead who will face the judgment seat. During the first years of the church, I used to have an annual trip to Ormoc City to minister the word. And the date I cannot forget is this date, November 5, year 1991. I was supposed to be there, but for some reasons, I delayed one day. And on that very day, November 5, 1991, from Typhoon Uring, flash floods befell Ormoc City. And people were swept away. I rushed the following day, and even as our ship was approaching the port, you can see floating dead people. And right on the port, scattered dead, you can smell the aroma of death. And what I saw were people, the living, who you can tell were at a loss. And all their furnitures just scattered around. That told me that when you're facing death, suddenly your TV meant nothing. Your furnitures meant nothing. Your possessions mean nothing. And more so on the judgment day. That's why I'm preaching to you the same gospel and no other. We will not tone it down. But that's the second temptation. And that is blending with the causes of the present. Makibagay sa mga simulain ng kasalukuyan. This is more feasible sounding. This is more attractive. And for that very reason, more insidious. What they are saying is, all right, preach the gospel, but in the service of causes that people today care about. But which ones? The fact is that such causes change every so often over a period of time. It was different before, it's different now. And the cause of the gospel is the only one of its kind. The conversion of the lost from sin to God. Ang simulain ng Ebanghelyo ay natatangi. Walang katulad. Ang pagbabalik loob ng makasalanan sa Diyos. Many will encourage the church to be the religious voice for causes that are in line with the present, among the most popular today, social justice, militant environmentalism, climate change. Oh, please do not ask me. I believe in the cause of the environment. That's why we have a ministry for the environment. But that is not the gospel cause. Souls are not perishing because of pollution or global warming. And I do not believe that the world will end with an environmental catastrophe. The promise of the scriptures is a redeemed earth. Others will call for social justice and they want the gospel to affirm their critical theory that everything can be categorized as oppressed and oppressor and the gospel is just for the oppressed. No, my friend. The gospel is for sinners. Whether that sinner is in the echelon of the oppressor or in the place of the oppressed and everything in between, we are all sinners in need of salvation, and that salvation is only in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say, I am myself an activist in heart. I want justice. But I reject the victimhood of the irresponsible. The call for transgender justice today is nothing but the normalization of rebellion against God's creation. The cause of the gospel is what Christ has done to satisfy the justice of God on behalf of sinners. That, my friend, is what you need, for the judgment of God is looming against you. And it is a just wrath. And your only hope is Jesus Christ. I read this story of during the Hamas attack on October 7th. There was this couple who hid in their safety room, but the terrorists managed to open the room and threw a grenade inside. And the man covered himself on the grenade to save the woman. He died, he lived, because he took the full measure of the blast. Jesus did more. He took the full measure of the blast of the wrath of God, so that those who believe in Him may be saved. My friend, why will you reject that gospel? Why will you change that gospel for social justice and for the militant environmentalism? There is nothing like that message. And my final challenge is to you as a church. Let us be faithful to our evangelistic mandate and stand up to the pressure. Maging tapat tayo sa ating mandato ng Ebanghelyo, manindigan sa anumang pagpipilit na ito ay makibagay. If you have causes that you care about, the church will help you to have a biblical understanding of it. But do not equate the gospel with the causes of the world today. The gospel is not politics. The gospel is not economy. The gospel is not about making the poor safe from their poverty. The gospel is not about enabling the disabled. The gospel is still about sinners and about what Christ has done so that sinners may be saved. And He has entrusted that gospel to the stewardship of the church. And if the church is not going to be faithful in its stewardship, then that church will answer to God. And I do not want this church to answer for unfaithful stewardship. I first preached this gospel in this church on November 29, 1981, the first day of the church. And I hope to God that on my last day of preaching, it will still be the same gospel. When I preached it the first time as a pastor, I was 20 years old. I'm more than triple that age now, but it is still the same gospel. And I pray that the church, which I'm sure will outlive me, will continue to preach the same gospel for many more years to come. I have seen so many changes in the nation. Even so many changes in the town of Los Baños. At the time, there was only Agrix to go to. It's gone. I have seen so many changes in the world. Technology, computers, social media. It's like I live in a different planet when I first became a pastor in 1981. But the gospel has not changed. And I don't get tired of sharing on this occasion how the Lord has saved me. It was a time that I was a professing Christian and there was a dearth, an almost total lack of faithful preaching of the gospel. But as a professing Christian, I visited a Christian bookstore and there found a small booklet, the only one that I could afford as a, I think, freshman in college. I think it was 2 pesos, 95 centavos. I bought it. That's the only item I could afford. And it happened to be A.W. Pink on repentance. And when I read it through, all my defenses crumbled. Then I realized I was absorbing a false gospel. A gospel of decisionism. A gospel of formula. Rather than a gospel that calls you to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. And since the Lord has awakened me then, I had made it my mission to preach the gospel with all my inadequacies and imperfections. But this is the same gospel we are preaching now, and by the grace of God, may we continue to preach. Adaptation is good in many areas. The message of the gospel, however, is constant. It is that message that has saved you and me. Let us be faithful to that gospel. And if you have not received that gospel, do not delay another day. Come to Christ now and be His disciple. And for the church, let us truly be grace in our being a Baptist church. Grace is what characterizes our message. And that is the theme of this response theme. He lifted me from sinking sands, as the chorus. He lifted me. With tender hand He lifted me. From shades of night to plains of light. Oh, praise His name. He lifted me. May the reminder of how the Lord lifted us from the miry clay of sin give us the resolution that we will be faithful in preaching the gospel as a church. Let us sing, He Lifted Me. Let's close in prayer. Our great God and gracious Heavenly Father, may we take seriously the charge of the Apostle Paul, though addressed to Timothy, is intended to be perpetrated by the church, including our church. And in this month of our anniversary, it is an appropriate time for us to refresh in our minds the only gospel that saves. There is such a pressure from the world for the gospel to be adapted to their whims, to their sensitivities. But to do so is unfaithfulness. And we must bear in mind what Paul charges Timothy by, and that is the judgment that will judge the living and the dead. no one is exempted. We pray for those who have heard this message time and again and have delayed. May this be the day when their hearts shall be opened and that they will come to the Lord Jesus, knowing that there is no other salvation and nothing in the life of this world can ever alter the fact that their life is going to face the judgment one day. And there is no escaping their accountability except for the Lord Jesus, who took the full blast of your judgment wrath on the cross. And thus may we be able to say that there is nothing in our hands we can bring, but only to the cross we can cling. And we pray, Lord, that as a church we may be faithful to this gospel and never listen to the siren song of toning down the offensive message or blending it with the causes of the world, for the cause of the gospel is unique. It is the only cause for the conversion of the lost, for the salvation of sinners. And you have entrusted to the church its stewardship. So grant, Lord, that as we have our 42nd year this month, keep us faithful and keep us preserved as a church for many more years to come, and preach the same gospel that alone can save, that alone brings glory to your name through the salvation of sinners. Now may the love of the Father, the grace of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.